The thing that's so challenging about the wilderness is that we just don't know where we're going oftentimes in the wilderness. We don't know when the end is actually going to be here. And we end up complaining about loads of things that are constantly going wrong. These external changes have created this sense of loss or lostness inside of us internally. And that's why in this series, Welcome the Wilderness, we're exploring what it means to be in the wilderness, to not just make it through the wilderness, but to figure out how to thrive in a season that none of us have ever experienced before. Which is why last message in part one, we talked about learning to welcome the wilderness. Today in part two, I want to talk about these temptations that Jesus faced, where he himself was led out into the wilderness to experience something that he had never experienced before. And next week in part three, we're going to talk about what it means for us to make sure that we don't forget to remember what God has already done in our past that might even prepare us for what we're going to experience in the wilderness. Before we get to any of that, though, I want to ask you a simple question. Do you remember being in school when you ask the teacher for the hall pass? You remember how that worked? You had to use the restroom. You had to run to the office for something. And so you asked for this pass, usually with some kind of object that you held on to. Maybe you slipped it in your pocket. And that gave you permission to do whatever it was in the hallway that you wanted to do. And anytime anyone with security or anyone in administration called out your name and said, whoa, what are you doing? What are you up to? You just pulled out the hall pass and said, I'm good. I've got a hall pass. Have you noticed in this season that more and more people are prone to use a hall pass because of what we're in the middle of? Maybe it's because we just feel sorry for ourselves and we think, I'll just engage, or I'll have another one, or I'll just go a little longer than I normally would to watch something or to binge on something or to experience something. Or maybe we're just bored. Maybe the monotony of day after day, feeling like another day of Groundhog Day, has left us feeling sorry for ourselves. Or maybe we're just more tired and unwilling to put up another fight. And it's just easier to just give in. It's why you and I are more prone to temptation in this season than ever before. Unfortunately, though, the hall pass worked in high school, but it just doesn't work for today. Now, here's why. A couple of things that the wilderness does. The wilderness ultimately exposes what's inside of us. I've noticed this in talking to so many people over the last couple of months. If you were already in a marriage that was difficult, this was just even more challenging. If you already had a proclivity towards some kind of temptation, this just made it all the more difficult. Just like a tube of toothpaste. When you put a little pressure on it, you find out what's actually inside. That's what the wilderness does. The wilderness exposes what's always been inside of us. But it also does this. It creates a sense of desperation in us. Why? Well, because we love being in control. We love the sense of control. We love our hands on the steering wheel. And when we turn right, we love when the car turns right. When we turn left, we love when it responds and does what we want it to do. But unfortunately, in this season, where we feel so out of control, where any semblance of control is now lost on us, we're more prone to reach out and grab the thing that we think is going to bring us the quickest and greatest amount of fulfillment. It's why we're more prone to temptation during the wilderness than we may have even been beforehand. But let me warn you, beware, in fact, that temptations become greater and they become stronger the longer we're in the wilderness. They become greater and they gain strength the longer we're in the middle of this season that feels like a wilderness. So what do we do about that? What do we do about these temptations that are so common to us, but seem so much more difficult to withstand? Well, fortunately, as I mentioned at the beginning, that Jesus himself experienced a season of time in the wilderness. And the temptations that he faced give us some guidance, some direction on how we might also face these temptations. The beauty of Jesus is that he is the image of the invisible God. Jesus' life was a picture of what it looked like for us to walk with God, what it looked like for us to grow in our relationship with him. Not only is he our salvation, but he also is the model for us. And so what I want to do over the next few minutes is just look at these temptations that Jesus faced. That there might be something for us to glean, something for us to take from this that might help us as we face similar temptation. There's three different gospel accounts that tell us the story of Jesus going out into the wilderness. But we're going to look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 all the way through 11. Here's what Matthew wrote for us. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit, just as we said last week, that God leads us to the wilderness. He was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, this is hard to even imagine, but Satan, the evil one, was there himself tempting Jesus. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was hungry and the tempter came to him. And when he did, he said to him, this is temptation number one. He said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. If you're the Son of God, if you are who you say you are, command these stones to become bread. Come on, you're hungry. This first temptation is the temptation of pleasure. It's the temptation to seek the miraculous, the spectacular, the effective, the practical, the thing that immediately works, the thing that's immediately impressive, the thing that might make you seem successful. I believe it taps into that desire in all of us to be seen as successful, to be seen as great. And Jesus himself stood there in the middle of that temptation, face to face with it. Hey, these stones here, turn them into bread. See, we're great at telling ourselves what it is that we think we immediately want, but we seldom hear the thing that we really need. Why? Because we love the immediate. We love the spectacular. We love the thing that's going to make us be who we think it is that we want to be. Jesus came face to face with this temptation, but God didn't just meet the immediate need that would have made him most popular. This interaction, this encounter that he had with the tempter, this is at the very beginning of Jesus's ministry, at the very beginning of the work that he was doing on earth. And God could have made him immediately popular, but he didn't do it. No, there's a reason why. He wanted to show us what it looked like to come face to face with that desire for the immediate, that desire to get what it is we think we want, but not necessarily the thing that we actually need. And so Jesus answers the tempter with a quotation from the Old Testament, a quote from Deuteronomy. He says this. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God." He says, man shouldn't just live by bread alone. It's better to obey the word of God than to seek the thing that you might immediately want. It's as if Jesus is saying, don't trade what you want now for that thing that you'll need later. Isn't that what temptation does? Temptation tells us, hey, this is the thing you want now. If you engage in this, indulge in this, It'll give you what it is that you want. But Jesus is reminding us, no. If you want to know what it looks like to come face to face with temptation, it's by being resolved enough to say, I'm going to refuse to trade what it is that I want now for that thing that I wish I had later. Maybe you'd be willing to do that, to refuse the thing that you want now for what you know you're going to want later. But the tempter wasn't done with Jesus. No, the devil took him up to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle, the very top of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. And he actually uses God's words here. He says, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you be tempted by, set your foot against a stone. The second temptation that Jesus faces is the temptation of pride. The temptation to see yourself as better than others, as superior, as saved, as the moral elite. And it's alarming, it's scary even, that the tempter, devil, Satan himself, uses scripture for diabolical purposes. Even the devil can quote scripture. And in this case, you can actually be against God in the name of God, that he was using the name of God to actually set himself up against God. But fortunately, Jesus knew the words of God himself, and so he quoted this back to Satan. Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. See, we were not made to just be successful, but to be obedient. In fact, I'd love to ask you, how do you measure your success? It can't just be in superiority. It can't just be in finding yourself better than other people. It surely can't be in wealth or health or influence or in power. No, but it's in faithfulness. And obedience is what ultimately makes us successful, which is why Jesus responded in this way to him. But then we see this third temptation. Verse 8, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all of their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you fall down and worship me. This third temptation is a temptation of power. We have the temptation of pleasure, the temptation of pride. And this is the temptation to be in control. I will give you all the kingdoms of the world and all of their glory if you would just bow down to me. I will give you that thing that you want without you having to give the thing that you don't want to have to give. And Jesus, with a sense of commitment and resoluteness, verse 10, he responds to him and says, be gone, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Jesus had already made up his mind. I know who I'm going to be. I know what I want to be known for. I'm not going to be willing to bow down even when things are difficult. See, the wilderness will make us all will lead us all to a place where we're willing to make delusional deals to give up what you really, really need to get the thing that you think you want. It's what the wilderness does. But fortunately, in Jesus' case, Satan at that point left. Verse 11 says, then the devil left, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. What a beautiful picture that God, forced, crammed into a body, was ministered to by God himself. That in that moment, that God was leading Jesus even while he was in the wilderness, in the same way that he'll do for you and for me. You know, the more I thought about this message, the more I thought about, well, how do I personalize this? How do I offer something from my own life? But Obviously, this is a message about temptation. This is a message where it's really difficult to share. But this is not the context for you to share, and it's not the context for me to share. No, in the same way that God came and ministered to Jesus through angels, God has given us people around us to have conversations like this. And so as we move toward what do we do with this, I just want to encourage you that the best thing any one of us can do is to have people in our lives where we're having conversations like this. It's why I feel so grateful for the men's group that I'm in, because these are the kinds of conversations that we have. Hey, what is your greatest temptation? In fact, just a few weeks ago, we asked the question, hey, if he was going to take you out, what would his plan be? And then we were able to encourage each other and challenge each other. And just saying it out loud takes away so much of the power. So let me just offer just a couple of simple applications. The first one is this. Be in the fight. Would you be in the fight? There are some temptations that are interesting and surprising, but most of them are just not that uncommon. They're the same ones that maybe you were wrestling with as a teenager that you'll be wrestling with in the next season of life. In fact, it would kind of be interesting if it was a new one, but it just is not. It's the same one. And what I've learned about them is that there might not ever be a season where you experience full victory, but would you decide, I'm not just going to give into it. I'm going to be in the fight. Secondly, would you choose to be resolved about what it is that you do believe? This is one of the most profound things that I've learned from Andy. I remember being a college student, hearing him talk about how people don't change their behavior after they change their belief. No, it usually works in the other way around. People end up changing their beliefs because they want to change their behavior, because they have just decided, oh, this is what I want to do. So now all of a sudden, I'm just going to change what I believe. But would you choose to be resolute, to be resolved about what it is that you do believe? And this is something that we've got to do before we get in the situation, before we find ourselves in that situation. It's why we encourage teenagers for years. Hey, it's why you put the alarm clock on the other side of the room before you go to bed so that you're less tempted to hit snooze. You got to decide what you believe before you get in the situation. Choose your boundaries before the situation presents itself. Number three, would you be brutally honest with yourself and with others when you give into temptation? One of the saddest things for me as a pastor is bumping into person after person who just feels alone, who's not talking to anyone about what's going on in their life. If you're living a life that's 90% known, you're still unknown. Do you have a place where you can be brutally honest with yourself, but also with other people? God has given us this gift of each other to help us fight temptation. We can't do it alone. We need each other. Number four, would you respond to Satan's lies with God's truth? How powerful is this? That Jesus, God in flesh, was responding to the lies of Satan with the truth of God. Maybe it's the playbook. Maybe he's given us the answer of, hey, here's how to fight the lies of, oh, just one more and it's going to give you what you want. The lies of, oh, if I can just arrive and achieve, then I'll have the thing that I'm looking for. No, those lies need to be responded to with God's truth. And obviously, to be able to respond to lies with truth, you got to know his truth. So are you aware of what's really true? And are you willing to respond to those lies with his truth? And lastly, would you choose to believe that Jesus is just better? Would you choose to believe that Jesus, that his way is just better? It really is the way that he wants us to fight temptation. Fighting temptation is not just about self-control. It's not just about self-discipline. It's not just a match of who can endure the longest. No, I think it's God's way of saying, hey, I just want to know, do you really love me? Do you really care most about me? See, I don't find myself to be the most self-disciplined person ever. In fact, self-discipline is often a challenge for me. But I've just learned over and over again through mistakes and through successes that Jesus is just better. His way is just better. There's this scene from this movie that I saw years ago. I don't know if you ever read the book or saw the movie. It's called Into the Wild. The book was written by John Krakauer, but it's about a student from Emory University here in Atlanta who went out west. He basically threw away his whole identity and decided to move all the way to Alaska and go live with the bears. And there's this scene toward the end of the movie where he's entering into the most treacherous part of the park. And someone offers him a map. Someone says, hey, you ought to take this. It's a map. It will help you navigate your way. And he says, no. I'm good. After a few months of making it in the wild, he basically finds himself in a position where he had eaten something that had poisoned him, and he eventually starved to death. And as they found the bus that he was living in when he died, they realized that the bus was just a short walk from a place of safety. But he didn't have the map. And see, the map is not just a list of do's and don'ts. The map is not just an encouragement to be more self-disciplined and have more control. Now, I believe in our case, I believe the map is a picture of what it looks like to be in a relationship with Jesus. He's our only hope. He's our only hope to survive the temptation that faces us. Now, see, my hope is that maybe today would be a map for you. Maybe today would be a map that you put in your pocket. That one day when you decide, oh, I don't know that I can face this anymore, and you've hit the bottom, that you'll pull the map out. Say, oh, here is the picture of Jesus. Because here's what Jesus did. Jesus held on. He held on even when it seemed like he couldn't. He held on when he was hungry. He held on when he was broken. Jesus held his ground in the wilderness so you can hold on to him in your wilderness. Jesus held on not just to paint the way, but he held on to be the way and to be our salvation. And here's the great news. When you can't hold on to him, you can be sure that he's still holding on to you. When you can't hold on to him, he's still holding on to you. And so maybe this has been a season where temptation has been difficult. Maybe it's been a season where it hasn't. But I just want to encourage you. You have a Savior. You have a Creator who's just better. And he not only showed us the way, but he paid the way, all the way at the cross. And his death on the cross provides the sacrifice that you and I need to provide the grace we need when we fall to temptation, but also the courage we need when we decide to stand up to it. And so whatever you find yourself wrestling with in this season, I hope for you that you don't just give in, but more than anything, I hope that you find Jesus in the middle of it all, because he's not just the God of the mountaintop. He's the God of the wilderness as well. So would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, for every man that's listening to this right now that feels like temptation has been stronger, maybe it's some kind of drink, maybe it's some kind of habit, God, I pray that this day would be a day where you would maybe even give him the courage to talk to somebody about it. God, for every woman that's listening to this, it just feels like I don't even know that I could stop. It just feels like I've gone too far. But this season has just been a season where it was just easier to let her guard down. God, I pray that today that she would find you in all of your grace, that you love her exactly the way she is, and that maybe it would be your kindness that would lead her. Maybe it would be your kindness that would lead him to to a place of repentance. So, Father, we just tell you today, we thank you for your grace. And I pray for loads of courage for every person listening today to be able to speak up, to be able to say something, to be able to be 100% known. Not just for their own sake, God, but for the sake of those around them. Thank you for Jesus who withstood temptation so that we can hold on a little longer, more than anything, so that we could find out that he's just better, that he is the Son of God, the one that we can trust, the one that we can put our hope in. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks for watching today. I hope you'll be back for part three. I hope you'll be back Wednesday for the bonus content that we're trying to provide. But more than anything, I hope you'll talk about this with people. These messages are best consumed in the context of relationships. And so join us on social media as we offer ways to be in relationship with others, but also where we offer conversation to be had to keep this dialogue going. Thanks for being with us for Welcome to Witness.